And then in the process of going to school over there, I got saved. And my whole life just changed. And it was pretty cool. I was in a fraternity, party animal, all that jazz. And then God got a hold of my life and just radically changed me. So rest is history. Let's pray and ask God to bless His word to our hearts. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Savior of our souls. And we thank You, Jesus, for going to that cross and dying for us. We thank You for the power of the resurrection. We thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts and within our lives. Father, we pray that You would teach us tonight. We are Your disciples, Jesus. We want to hear Your voice. We want to learn from You. We want to follow Your ways. So, Father, we pray that You speak to us, that You guide us and direct us through the Holy Scriptures, that we become stronger and better Christians in serving You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of James, chapter 3. I am disappointed with you that Dave Hunt is not here. I love Dave Hunt. He's a wonderful man of God. He has great teachings. And I was really looking forward to hearing him this weekend. And I had the opportunity to meet Dave Hunt back in the 80s when I worked for Pastor Rawl. We were doing a special documentary on Satanism in America and dealing with the occult and satanic child ritual abuse and a whole variety of things. And Dave Hunt was one of our speakers on the documentary, and what a wonderful man of God he was then, and he's even better today. And I'm sorry he's not here with us tonight, so we'll keep him in prayer in regards to his back and that all the surgery and everything would go very, very well. In James chapter 3 tonight, I'm not going to talk about Bible prophecy. Obviously, James chapter 3 doesn't deal with it. Because I felt if I got in any kind of prophecy, we're going to be covering it all in the next this weekend. So I want to talk to you about relationships, from singleness to marriage. And I want to talk to you about communication. And I've entitled our message, Communication, Can You Hear Me Now? You've heard the commercial, right? Can you hear me now? Let me give you a quick story. Maybe you heard it, maybe you haven't. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office, and after his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a very severe stress disorder. If you don't follow my instructions carefully, your husband will surely die. Now listen, each morning, fix him a very healthy breakfast. Be pleasant at all times. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with any chores. Don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse and may kill him. Don't nag him. And most importantly, make love to him regularly. If you don't do this for the next 10 months to a year, I think your husband will regain his health completely. If you do this for the next 10 months through the year, I know your husband will regain his health completely. On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "Well, honey, what did the doctor say?" She said, "You're going to die." She knew how to communicate, amen? How to get right to the point. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. I don't know if the last half was there, but she spoke the truth. In the book of James, chapter 3, James writes to us about a very important member within our personal body, and it's called the tongue. And he's got a lot to say about it. I'm wondering if he struggled with it himself. I believe he did. And the Holy Spirit directed his life and his heart to minister to our hearts tonight. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall have a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature believer, able also to bridle the whole body. The Bible here gives us an understanding of, if you're going to be a Bible teacher, make sure you get it straight. Make sure you're teaching the straight and narrow. Make sure you're declaring the word of God. You know, Paul told Timothy in those pastoral epistles, he said, "Preach the word, Timothy," with a big exclamation point. Every pastor, every Bible teacher must be teaching the Bible. We need to teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The whole Bible bleeds Jesus Christ. And He is the one who has died for our sins and gives us eternal life. And so we have to preach the Bible, all that it has to say. It's going to talk to us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of all of us. And it will radically change our lives, always for the better. When it comes to Bible teaching, we must be careful with what we teach. We must always teach sound biblical doctrine. So that was a warning for Bible teachers. And then he says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body." The Bible says to be a mature man is to be one that's able to control what he says, how he shares, how he talks, how he converses with other people. And today in our world, we have a lot of things going on in which people are fabricating a lot of stories. They're outright lies. I don't know. It seems like the more our world carries on, it just seems like there's more and more people just not telling the truth. You know, politicians are famous nowadays. Whatever it takes to get elected, they'll tell you some kind of story one day and they'll tell you another story the next day, and you don't know what they stand for because they're trying to get everyone to vote for them and they are lacking principle. And this is tragic. When I think about politicians and great Christians of the past, let me share with you John Jay. He was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He said, "We must elect Christians as leaders." And the Supreme Court said in 1892 that their decisions must be based on godly principles. This guy knew who he was, who he believed in, and who this country must follow. We must select Christian leaders. It's hard to determine who are these guys, what do they believe. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God begins to pour things out of them, and we begin to find out whether they're really a Christian or they're not. Because if a politician says that he's for abortion, he's not a Christian. If a politician says he's for homosexual marriages, he's not a Christian. How do I know that? It goes against complete teaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God is the truth. Jesus has come to give us the truth. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of truth. We have the Word of truth. And if someone's telling us something else and they say they're a Christian, I tell you what, we've got a real problem. And what do? We pray for them. We pray for them, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they would be a man or a woman of God who will go to the Word of God and be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a learner. Another great politician, John Adams, our second president, said, "It must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble, acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence." These men were communicators. They were statesmen. They knew who they believed in, and they declared the truth. From the Supreme Court to the presidency, we need men who are going to declare God to the populace so that they hear Christ for their hearts, for this nation is going to fall, and it's going to crumble, and it's going to deteriorate, and it's going to be destroyed because men and women are not standing up for God. And that comes by what we hear, what we learn, and what we say. So to be a mature man, we got to be men and women of the Word of God. We need to speak the Word so that God's Word will have an effect upon our nation and upon our lives. But let me step down a little bit from the broad spectrum of the nation. I want to talk to you more importantly into every one of our hearts and into every one of our homes and into every one of our relationships. For that's where the gospel starts. It's got to start with us as the foundation, and then it spreads throughout the nation. When we talk about not stumbling in word and becoming a mature Christian, Jesus has told us in Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, verses 34 to 37, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow, that's pretty heavy. By your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Well, the greatest words we ever declare is that we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the greatest thing we could ever do. If you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You see, as we believe and as we confess, we believe within our heart unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. God does this work within us. He speaks to us. He touches our hearts by the Holy Spirit, convicts us of our sins, and then we give our hearts to Christ and we're saved. And then what needs to take place is that we begin to develop the heart of Christ, and then out of our hearts come good things. Folks, you and I have to crucify the old man. Amen? Amen. We got to put him out of business. He is mean-spirited. He is ornery. He is degrading. He is negative. And many times he destroys other people's lives. And sometimes our marriages are destroyed by what we say. God wants to save our marriages. God wants to save our children. He wants to save our families. And he wants us to be an example to the whole nation. And it comes by how we communicate, what we say to one another. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21, the wise in heart will be called prudent. The wise in heart will be called prudent. And sweetness of the lips increases learning. Ah, wait a minute. Sweetness of the lips increases learning. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have sweet lips? Maybe get up in the morning, put a little sugar on them. Just as a reminder, a little honey on your biscuit or something. Hey, do you have sweet lips? Being able to say those things that bring forth sweetness to other people. You know, you get a little sugar, a little honey, what does it do for you? It gives you some energy, doesn't it? And when you speak sweet things to one another, all of a sudden, you energize their hearts and their lives in Jesus. You begin to push them forward in their walk in Christ. You know, there may be someone sitting next to you right now tonight. They're really struggling. They're really having a hard time. It could be spiritually. It could be emotionally. It could be physically. It could be financially. It could be in their marriage. I don't know what it might be, but God may want you to say something sweet to them tonight before you leave. He may want you to reach out to them and say, you know what? I want to pray for you. I want to touch your heart in prayer. Do you need prayer? What do you need prayer for? There's nothing sweeter than prayer. When we pray for one another as believers, God touches each other's hearts. It builds us up. It strengthens us. It shows each other that we care. Now, when someone comes up, puts their hand on your shoulder, says, can I pray for you? Why, sure, man. That'd be awesome. What do you need prayer for? Well, this, and that, and that, and that, and this and that. That'd be good. Let's do it. And they pray for you, and all of a sudden you're blessed. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. All right, mouth, it's time for you to learn. You know what I'm saying? When you begin to read through Proverbs, you're going to learn a whole lot about the tongue. You know, it's interesting how God's given us the 31 Proverbs, 31 days of the month. You all know this. But as you read through and you make it a practice within your life, you're developing wisdom for your speech so that you are learning on how to respond to people. Many years ago, I was working for a food broker here in Southern California. I was a young man, 23 years old. My wife and I had just gotten married, and I was driving about 1,000 miles a week, going to all the grocery stores, and we'd sell them all kinds of products. We had about 200 products that were in our lines, and big company, national company, and one of the guys, it was one of our meetings we were having there in Garden Grove and at the company base, and we were having a big meeting. They were unveiling a new product line, and so for everybody's really excited because they try to get you all pumped up to sell this product. And of course, the VP was giving the big speech and the rah rah, and okay, go out and sell this stuff, you know, here we go. And then we took a break, you know, and everybody runs off to the restrooms and so on and so forth. Well, one of the marketing guys, he was pretty high up too, he goes in the restroom, he starts talking to another gentleman there as they're washing their hands about, oh, that VP, you know, he's always giving us those, you know, speeches, you know, about this product. It's a bunch of blah, 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 you know. I won't say the words. And I was the new guy in the company. I was just kind of sitting there washing my hands, listening to what was going on. I go, oh, man, that doesn't sound too good. And guess who walked out of the stall of one of the restrooms? Mr. VP. Well, his career was cooked. He was finished. You know, but you got to teach yourself. You know what I mean? You got to teach yourself what to say, what not to say. If you've got nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. We need to study. We need to listen. We need to study. Let's go to our next section. Go to verse 3. The heart of communication comes from us, first of all, by us being wise in heart, by us teaching our mouth, by having studying how to answer. The first thing I want you to understand is the heart of communication. I forgot to give you my first point. The heart of communication is your first point. The heart of communication must be a good heart, comes through Christ. The heart of communication comes through a wise heart, Proverbs 16:21. The heart of communication comes through a heart that is wise, that teaches his mouth, Proverbs 16:23. And then Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. That is the proper heart of communication, number one. Now, if you're a single person, if you're a husband or your wife, whoever you are, this is basic Christianity for all of us, so that we all get along in the body of Christ. There's nothing worse than people saying things about one another and you know, hurting each other's feelings, and you know, and then you got a backbiter over here or a slander over there, and things are said about this pastor or that person in leadership, and man, the devil just runs with it. He just creates a fire and it just rolls out. You know, I remember when I came to Hawaii, when we first moved there, some people's, you know, we were new, and some people there on the island, they're local folks, and they said, hey, how about coming over and, you know, they're communicating, you know, their language with us. I had to learn the language, right? Like aloha and mahalo. Thank you. And so they say, hey, why don't you come over for some poo-poos? Well, I didn't know what poo-poos was. So I'm sitting there thinking, honey, they want us over for some poo-poo. I said, I've heard of missionaries, you know, I've been in native areas, and the cockroach runs by, and the king grabs it and says, eat with me, it's a delicacy, you know, they have to eat the cockroach, you know, and but they eat poo-poo, that's another thing. I said, Lord, if I have to eat poo-poo, all right, I'll do it. We went to the house, and they served us all kinds of poo-poos, and they were delicious. They're like appetizers, like we have, if you don't know. And so every day I'm always asking for more poo-poos. But anyway, wherever you go, whatever company you're working for, whatever line of business you're in, you all have your own language, amen? Even Christianity, we have a language. You know, people run around saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, whatever. You know, God bless you, and hopefully it's real. Praise the Lord, hopefully it's real. We have a language. Now, we have the heart of communication, verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 and 6, the listening of communication. God's given us two ears and one mouth. That's telling us something. We've got to listen twice as much as we speak. So we go to verse 3. It says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large, are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a little fire kindles. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. That's pretty, pretty powerful. This is quite descriptive. I mean, we started off with this little thing about the horse and the bridle's bit. Now, if you've ever ridden horses, my dad bought us, my brother and I, a horse, and so we've ridden horses and stuff, you know, and took care of it, and then we wouldn't ride it enough, and then all of a sudden the thing would become wild and buck us off. But anyway, we have to retrain it. But that little bit in that powerful animal, you're able to control that animal, which direction it's going to turn. That little small rudder, you know, that small rudder's right there, and it's guiding that huge, massive ship through these stormy, turbulent seas. This little thing. And then he gives these two descriptions. And then all of a sudden he gets us down to this this tongue that is, it can be a world of iniquity. It can be this fire that's set on, that is ignited by hell itself. You and I have to realize that this little member between our teeth, if you will, is a very powerful tool. And oh man, we can really hurt each other, can't we? And you know, this little tongue can leave a scar for life. There may be some of you here tonight where your parents said something to you that just scarred you. Or maybe it was some friend. Or maybe it was a daily barrage. A daily barrage of brutal words into your soul. That's why I love reading the Bible. Our Father never treats us that way. Our Father is always loving and kind. He's always pure. He'll tell us straight, which I love. He just, here you go, Daryl. Here's that straight and narrow. And then He encourages you and He gives you hope and He blesses you. You'll find yourself going into a place of conviction and asking for forgiveness, and you feel so much better afterwards. This is the work of Christ within our lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we may have been hurt by other people, it's important for us to realize that we are called to minister to them in spite of them. Let me give you some scriptures. When we look to the tongue, we realize in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 32 to 33, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Did you catch that? Before honor is humility. We don't want to disdain the instruction of God for our souls. We don't want to despise it. We want to take heed to it. And if someone should say to us something that is to correct us, we need to take it in a humble manner. Now, if somebody says something that hurts us, we need to go back to them and say, you know, brother, you know, sister, this hurt. The Bible says if anyone offends you, you are to go back to them and say, you know what? What you said to me, it hurt me. I was offended. And I just want you to know that because, I don't know, is there something going on? Is there something between the two of us? You see, Jesus prayed for us in John 17. He said, Father, make them one as we are one. That's what He prayed. He wanted us to be bound together as one. Of course, that's in the marriage relationship, right? That we would be one flesh, knitted together, inseparable. Nobody can pull us apart. That's what God designed for husbands and wives. And we've got to be one in our communication, in talking to each other. Ladies, has your husband ever hurt your feelings? You have to raise your hands. Don't worry. Husband's sitting there, don't raise your hand. Yeah, of course he has. I've hurt my wife's feelings. I feel horrible when I do that. And vice versa. You ladies probably hurt your husband's feelings. Have you ever hurt your kids' feelings? You know, you lost your cool, you lost your temper, it kind of just, look, oh, it just came out at once. And you see your little kid, that bright little spirit, you know, the little shiny face, just go, boom, they're crushed. What do we do? The best thing to do is go and say to that person, you know what, will you please forgive me? I'm sorry for what I said. It was wrong. To humble yourself, to have humility. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you're going to be prideful, you're going to say, well, I'm not going to admit that I was wrong. I'm not going to say, you know what, it's my way or the highway. It's my opinion. I'm the important one here. Man, you are dead on the vine. You're going down. Your family's going down. Your marriage is going down. Relationships with others are going down. What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly? To love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Amen? To be humble. To love mercy. To be merciful with people. We've got these bright little children. They have great, great dreams and hopes and desires. And we don't want to crush them by being cruel or rude. You know, I want my children to respect me, but I also know that I have to respect my children. Never have I called my children names. I don't call them names. I don't ever want to call them names. I remember when I first got married, my wife and I got in a big argument, and I got upset at her, and she got upset with me, and she drove away, and I sat there, you know, and I was angry. I lost my temper. You know, I was a brand new Christian, and been a Christian for about a year, got married, and, you know, newlyweds and all that, and you go through all these adjustment periods, and you're like, everything's going to work out. And then all of a sudden, you start discovering about each other. It's like, I didn't know you were like that. And she's looking at you going, I didn't know you were like that. It's the adjustment period, right? And I got really mad. I kicked this bamboo ottoman across the, it was a good kick, by the way. It was a field goal shot. I kicked it across the family room there, you know, when I was brand new, newlywed Christian and lost my temper. My dad had a bad temper when I grew up with him. He'd drink, you know, he wasn't a Christian and he'd drink, and then when he'd lose his temper, everybody'd kind of run and hide, you know, get out of the way and so forth. And, you know, and Sue left. She got in the car, drove away, you know, because I said some really mean things. And I was really raising my voice because I wanted to know who's the boss in this house. And, of course, you know, I'm sitting there in my living room all alone now. She's gone. Here I am. Oh, God, what do I do now? And I remember God spoke to me. Does he speak to you? I hope he speaks. I know he speaks to you. He spoke to me clear as a bell. He just says, Daryl, do you want to grow up and be like your father, your earthly father, where in that home you didn't know if tonight was going to be the good night or the bad night, or is he going to get upset, or something going to happen, mom and dad going to get in an argument, and you're going to have to kind of scurry out, or you're going to try to referee and get in the way of everything? What kind of a home do you want to have? Now look, I'm your heavenly father, and I want to bless your life, but we're going to deal with your speech, and we're going to deal with your anger, and this is going to stop. At that moment in time, God said to me, he says, you've got to have self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I've been going to church. I was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, just like you folks, learning, growing, went to New Believer Study. Man, I was diving in like the Nesty Plunge. I was head over heels, man, into the Word of God. I was going to Old Testament studies, you know, whatever they had down to the church, because I knew I had to get out of the world. I had to live for Jesus. And God really convicted me. And my wife came back and asked her to forgive me. I said, honey, pray for me, because I don't want to end up like my dad. I want to be like my heavenly father. I want to do my best. I'm not going to be perfect at this, but I'm going to try. You know what, gentlemen? If any of us here have a problem with our temper, or maybe we got a problem with our mouth, you ask your wife to pray for you. Honey, I need your prayers. I want God to root out this ugliness that's within me. I want you to radically change my life. See, when you begin to pray for something and for that change, it's going to happen. But you got to be humble. You got to come together. And ladies, if you got a bad temper too, you know, not that any sweet ladies would ever have a bad temper. that's right, Daryl. We are very nice. I know you are. All right. Let me give you another proverb, just real quick. This is such great stuff in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Don't be yakking until you hear the whole thing, the whole story. So many times we just interrupt people, we start talking in front of them, and they're trying to tell us something, and we're just jumping right on them. It's like, hey, wait a minute, time out. When someone's talking to you and then you intervene and you start talking over them, you're then telling them that you don't care about them nor what they have to say, and you're so important, you've got to be heard over anybody else. And folks, that happens in marriages. It happens in just friendships. There needs to be a dialogue that takes place. We listen. We go back and forth. We talk. It's very important. Now, my wife, you know, years ago, a lot of good learning experiences, she came to me one day. She says, we were talking, and she says, Daryl, you don't talk to me like my girlfriends. I'm thinking about this, right? Where's she going with this? I go, okay, well, what do you mean by that? Well, when my girlfriends, you know, we get together, we'll go out for a cup of tea or something. You know, we just talk and we talk and we talk and da 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 da, da, you know. And I said, okay. And then, yeah, you're probably right. I guess I don't. You know, when me and the guys get together, we just kind of grunt. Huh? What? Yeah? Want to go shoot some hoops? All right, let's go. You know, it's different, you know. And if I go to the on a picnic and I'm talking to a guy about it, what'd you do yesterday? I went to a picnic. Oh, that's nice. How was it? Oh, it was good. We had fried chicken. Oh, okay, let's go. You know, have fun with the family. Okay, my wife gets together with one of her girlfriends. What'd you do yesterday? We went to the park. Oh, the sky was just blue and. You know, the sun was out, and they were over on this side, these flowers are coming out, and the kids were doing this, that, and the other, and, you know, my husband was there. It's different, yeah. And I didn't know how to respond. I just said to my wife, well, honey, I'm just not a girl. And she was like, well, that's not exactly the answer I wanted, you know. But what she was telling me, and I was listening, you know, I was listening. What she's saying to me is, I want you to communicate better with me. I want you to take more time that we can sit down and we can talk and converse and engage. And that was another great lesson for me, is to engage myself with my wife and be listening and be talking and be conversing. And gentlemen, let me tell you something. Ladies always like the details. So work on the details, man. They want to know the details. We're not big on details, you know. We just kind of gloss over. We're ready to go to something else. Ephesians 4, 26 to 28. Oh, I'm sorry. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20 tells us, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's put down our anger. Let's not let our anger get the best of us. And when we do feel it coming on, let's be slow to speak. Let's really think about the situation. What is really going on here? Why is, let's just say, you know, this individual, why are they all stressed out? What are they going through? Maybe it's best to ask them, you know what? Is there anything I can help you with? Instead of saying, hey, what's wrong with you, man? You know, and getting all uptight and coming back at them. And it's the same thing in the marriage relationship. Maybe your husband or your wife's had a really tough day. Maybe something's going on. You know, the kids have got her pulling her hair out. Whatever it is, you come home and you look at her. It's like, holy moly, what happened to her, you know? I can't take these little children anymore. You know, when you grab that door handle, gentlemen, it's when you grab the door handle, whoever you might be, when you grab that door handle, that's your checking point. You come home from work, it's now to check your attitude at the door, and then come in and see what the Lord has for you with the family. It may have been a tough day, may have been a beautiful day. You don't know, but either way, we're slow to speak, quick to listen, and always slow to anger. In the book of Ecclesiastes, if you want, you can turn with me there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are told, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose. I don't know if it's talking about dieting. Anyway, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to keep silence. That's not called the silent treatment, by the way. But sometimes it's best to listen. Let that person speak. Let them get it all out. And then there's a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. You should put that into a song someday. But anyway. Go back to James. What is your time? What is your time all about? Your time needs to be about your Father's business. Your and my Father's business is people. It's always been about people. He loves people. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to bless one another, serve one another. We have the heart of communication. We have the listening of communication. We are to be slow to speak, slow to anger. We are to listen. We're not to be prideful. We're to be humble. We are to have a heart that is ready to listen to others. Thirdly, you have what's called the voice of communication. You have the right heart, you have the listening, And now you have your voice. He says to us in the scriptures here, verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you?" Well, I want to be wise and understanding. When we read this passage, in this laying it down for us, he says, hey, how can we curse our brethren and then say, praise the Lord, you know, God bless you and hallelujah as we come into church? You know, we've all been there. We get in an argument, something's going on, and we're stewing over it, and it's time to go to church. And in fact, maybe you went through it today. I'll never forget when I was young in ministry and I was learning, teaching, and growing. We would have a home fellowship at our house on Monday nights. And, you know, I would teach, and it seemed like every Monday my wife and I would get into an argument. And I just couldn't figure it out. It was like every single Monday where just something would come up and we just start arguing. And then we realized, you know, there's more to it than just us, of course. There's this spiritual warfare that's going on. So the devil is always there also wanting to prompt us to argue. He wants to set, you know, hell on fire on our tongue. He wants us to come out and really come against each other. Now let me minister to those who are in ministry. Be careful. The enemy is really on your tail when it comes to trying to destroy your communication with others and also within your marriage relationship. He wants to knock you down. He wants you to fight and to bicker and to argue on a regular basis. God says no. Recognize that you're also in a spiritual war when it comes to what you say and how you react and how you talk. Guard your heart in that marriage relationship. Guard your heart in ministry relationships. Getting back to the notes, we talk about our nonverbal communication and verbal communication. He says, when we communicate, are we salty water or fresh? Are we cursing or are we blessing? What's coming out of our mouths? How are we ministering to one another? Are we there to encourage and bless and help? Or are we discouraging one another? Boy, we can just pop the air of somebody's tire so quick when it comes to the body of Christ. There's also that nonverbal communication. You know that look. What do you mean? Or that, you're so dumb. You know, rolling the eyes like, oh, do we have to talk about this? You know, that nonverbal communication. You know, that pointing. That's another thing. Hey, break that finger, will you? No. You're trying to intimidate. God's not intimidating. God is loving. Go like this. Bring him in. That's the way of Christ, to love and to bless. When we look to our verbal communications, we need to go from criticisms to compliments. Amen? Now see, so much of us, of our lives, many times have been trained to criticize. It was something we did as brothers and sisters growing up. So many times cutting each other down. We are not to criticize. We're to compliment one another. I'd like to encourage you this week to put yourself in this examination room of what's coming out of your mouth. To think about, am I complimenting or am I criticizing? Let me ask you another thing. Am I degrading or uplifting? Am I negative or positive? Am I cynical or comical? It's okay to have fun. That's good. Gossip or good news? Sarcasm, which inflicts pain on somebody else in a funny little way? Or are we full of communication that is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Amen? I like that word. I don't know if I spelled it right, but I put it in my notes. You see, to encourage, to bless, to move people forward in the gospel of Christ, to inspire lives, to let people know that you're not alone. We're with you, man. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pick you up, and we're going to go at this thing together, whatever it might be, circumstance, situation. Your marriage is falling apart right now. Let's change your communication. Let's get it on the right track. Let's stop bickering and fighting. Let's go to the cross of forgiveness. Let's forgive each other. Let's humble ourselves. Let's love one another. And let's start communicating the blessings of the Lord to each other. See, that's the work of Christ. But you've got to go for it, man. You've got to pick up the cross and you've got to follow Him. Daily, He says. Well, you don't know what's going on in our marriage. No, I don't. But God does. And His principles never fail. They never fail. What causes failure is our disobedience to God. God doesn't want us to be disobedient. We want to go into the promised land. Amen. Children of Israel, great example. The baton's given from Moses to Joshua. Joshua takes the baton. He goes into the promised land. It's victory through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God comes into our hearts, changes our lives. We live for God. You get to the book of Judges, just a short generation later, and you got failure through compromise. Because they compromised the word of God. As they compromised the word of God, they compromised their lifestyles, and then their enemies began to destroy them. Is the enemy destroying your marriage today? If he is, get back to victory through faith. Get into the word of God. Read it, live it, love it, and let it work and live within your life. He'll change your life. Let me add a couple more Proverbs for our benefit here. Proverbs 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Keep your tongue from evil. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Once again, this sweetness. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Within our family many years ago, we saw a little thing going on. The kids, us, everybody. We saw there was like some negativity, some cut downs. You know how it can get. And all of a sudden we said, you know what? We're going to edify one another from now on. Every day, our buzzword for the day is going to be edify. So we explained to the kids, what does the word edify mean? It means to build up. It means to strengthen. It means to encourage. So every day, for a long, long time, we went around with our kids and my wife and I. And if we ever heard something that was degrading or negative or condescending or, you know, that little sting of sarcasm that wasn't uplifting, we would say, edify, edify. And it became a buzzword within our family. And it became a family reminder for all of us that we are called to edify one another. So maybe you might try that. I guarantee you it works. And all of a sudden you're catching yourself when you are saying things, I shouldn't have said that. Edify. Edify each other. Proverbs 15:1-2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Filled with grace, your speech filled with grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, filled with the grace of God, with the mercy of God, reaching out and touching each other's hearts and lives with God's grace and mercy. That's what He's called us to do. Man, how can your marriage fall apart? How can any relationship in this church and in any church fall apart when we're filling it with grace? Well, what about the salt, man? Ah, the salt. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a purifier. And so there are times when we do have to sit there and say, you know what, brother? You know what, sister? What you're doing is wrong. And you need to get right. You know what? The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. There's times where you got to just talk to people and just tell them straight. Bro, I'm here to love you and care for you, but I got to tell you, what you're doing and how you're living, what you're saying is absolutely wrong. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Now, it's up to that brother to decide what he wants to do. And then you give him the grace, and I'm here for you. I want to help you. Whatever I can do, I'm here. Let's pray. Salt and grace. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You know, you can get some harsh truth once in a while from people. It's like, man, I don't think they said that with the right spirit. It's like brutal. But you know what the Bible says? If we have to speak that truth, speak it in love. I'll give you a little bit of bonus communication. It's from the Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Bonus communication. You never thought you'd get that, huh? Bonus communication. Let me see if I can find the Song of Solomon here. There we go. Are you ready? Now, bonus communication is... Now, this is specifically for marriages. Husbands, let me tell you, this is how you really score some points with your wife. Are you ready? You turn to your wife and you say, honey, how beautiful are your feet in sandals. Oh, princess daughter, the curves of your thighs are like jewels. The work of the hands of a skillful workman, your navel is a rounded goblet. It lacks no blended beverage. This one's going to knock her out. Are you ready, guys? Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. She's going to melt in your arms right there, gentlemen. A little bonus communication. Don't say I didn't give you anything. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. There's more. I wouldn't want to go into it. There's more. Jack would never have me back. Oh, Lord. You know, folks, when we come to communicating with each other, we need to pray. Lord Jesus, I want your heart. Lord Jesus, I want to speak with your mouth, with your words, with your lips. Lord Jesus, I want to reach out to everyone that you bring me in contact with, and I want to love them. I want to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the high calling, folks? How can any marriage fall apart if that becomes our true goal? That we're not going to be selfish. We're not going to be egotistical. We're not going to be rude or crude or disrespectful. We're not going to swear. We're not going to lose our temper. We're going to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the temperance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness, goodness, and truth. We're going to be Christians bearing fruit after our Savior. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. Christians, let's live the life. Let's declare the life and watch our world change. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we thank you for your great and wonderful love. We thank you for this beautiful passage in James that teaches us on how to converse with one another. Lord, we don't want our tongues to be set on fire by hell. We want our tongues to be ignited with heaven, with the love of Jesus Christ. That every heart and every life, all the single people here, Lord, will begin to put into practice that beautiful, beautiful speech of your heart and your ways. That every marriage would be blessed. That we would always remember those vows that we made to one another, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That we will always maintain to love and to cherish one another, to bless one another, to compliment, to edify, to encourage, to push forward in this life, all the way until we reach heaven, and all of a sudden we hear this voice say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Oh, what a glorious day that will be. So, Father, may your hand of blessing be upon this congregation. May you guide every heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May you fill us with your joy, peace, and love. And if tonight you don't know Jesus Christ, I'd like to encourage you and invite you to give your heart to Jesus Christ.